The thing I find amazing is nobody gets taught how to breathe, really, or the importance of breathing. Like, why is that not taught to our kids when they're really young in school, especially in that hyper-connected kind of world that we're in now? It's just so profound, I think, being conscious and able to regulate and actively do something with your breath.
Mm. And the important part that Ben mentioned there, it's not the breathing part that's the important part of what he just mentioned. It's the noticing of your breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Is your breathing shallow? Is it accelerated? Is it appropriate for the state you want to create, not just for yourself, but for those that you lead in the moment? Noticing your breath, and once you've noticed that and mastered that, that you can bring calm to a situation. Then you can move to noticing their breath, because you can notice so much just by the speaker's breathing as well.
Mm.
Now, the great yogic traditions, the great religious traditions, the very ancient cultures of the Maori, the indigenous communities of Australia, the Inuit of North America, the Eskimo, the Native Indians of North America, the Eurasian tribes spanning from Mongolia all the way across to Russia. These tribes and cultures and religions all have very specific traditions of teaching the importance of breath. In most religious traditions, they do that through the tempo of the singing,
yeah,
or the praying that is being done. It's very subtle, but it is embedded in breath work. And if you want to double click really a long way on this, James Nestor has written 3 books on this where he's tracked the history of the breathing traditions. And his work is immense. He's done a lot of work in the free diving community. These are people who literally dive hundreds of meters into the ocean with no additional oxygen.
Right.
And they're literally breathing using very ancient techniques. And the best listening cultures are the best storytelling cultures.
Hmm.
And that is why it's so important to teach your children through storytelling at nighttime, because you're teaching them how to listen. And if you don't think that my 5-year-old granddaughter is listening when I'm reading a book, I'll just skip a couple of pages for fun, and she'll point out that I just skipped some pages.
Of course she will.
Even though she's not even looking at the pages, she's just listening. So kids will amaze you. But the ancients, whether it's around breath, whether it's around hydration, which is true around the great yogic traditions of the East, these are fundamentals. They don't change over time. And no matter how much we talk about hyper-connected systems and technologies and all of this, the answer's still within us to be present to us, to start to work on us and lead ourselves first, listen to ourselves first. And by being listening rather than trying to teach it to anybody, you'll have a much more profound impact as a leader. You'll hear things from customers that the competitors won't hear. You'll hear things during recruitment processes that mean you'll attract the right kind of staff. You'll be in dialogue with regulators in a way that's productive rather than in conflict. The more senior you are, the more consequential your listening is, because you don't want to be in front of those parliamentary inquiries to justify something that wasn't actioned, despite the fact the system was collecting the complaints, whether that's hospitals, banks, military organisations, or anything in between. So be a good listener first as a leader, but that starts by listening to yourself.